Step into the wealth elevator and join our 12,000 plus member community who have passively invested over $200 million to acquire over $2.1 billion in commercial real estate. Sign up by going to thewealthelevator.com/club. And here we go.
On today's podcast, frequently asked questions that a lot of investors will ask before they get involved in alternative investments, syndications, and private placements. Before I get into that, what's going on with the market? Commercial real estate has been beat up in the last couple of years. In some places, 15% or as much as 50% price drop across the country. Now, this is positioning us in an ideal point in the market cycle to secure properties at an amazing low-cost basis. If you're someone who's just finding out this world now, man, you are lucky. In a way, it's like coming out of college right as the 2008-2010 global financial crisis was recovering. It's just sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be smart or good. What we've seen this past week, Blackstone has finally entered the market. And I'm going to link that up in our email newsletter that goes out every Tuesday. The headline from CoStar was Blackstone ratchets up housing investment with $10 billion of apartment deal acquisition. So they basically bought ARR Communities for $10 billion. And this is the largest multifamily deal for Blackstone to date. The deal also includes some value add, about $400 million for property upgrades. And it consists of 76 properties, 27,000 units. And basically, if this isn't that vote of confidence coming from the biggest private equity firm out there, I don't know what is. They expect to close it here in the next quarter, pending shareholder approval. And I think this is just the start of it, as they have $66 billion of investment capital ready. So they could probably buy another six of these. The loser in this case is Alamco, which was ARR Communities. They had to sell, and Blackstone is the winner. And unfortunately, that's how it works sometimes. The market is cyclical, and right now it's the time when you need to be getting in. And we're actually right now in the field. If you guys want to know exactly where that is, subscribe to our newsletter. We try not to put everything out there to protect our secrets, and we're going to go into that more into detail on today's podcast. But we've been eyeing a deal for well over a month. And you know, it's gotten to a point we've dug through the financials, the rent rolls. And what we're really wanting to do now is do that physical due diligence. Specifically, what I'm wanting to look at is like, how are those new units being rented up at? Are they hitting pro forma? Where is it at? And of course, do the checks on the neighborhood and the surrounding comps to see if the comps match up with on paper analysis. And it's been quite some time since we bought a significant asset like this. I'd probably say it's been almost 2 years, but it's finally getting to a point where you're picking these assets up at a phenomenal price. And the difference this time, right, fixed rate debt to go along with it. Get, you know, learn more that in this podcast. And if you haven't yet, please reach out and connect. Hey there, Lane Kawoka here, and welcome to our investing community. Decided to turn the general question FAQ sheet into the audio form here. We realized that it's a lot of information that we've put on here, and some people just prefer to digest this on an audio form. But with that, our community has grown to encompass over 900 investors as of 2024 and acquired assets valued at over $2.1 billion across more than 70 projects. You can refer back to the PDF for a holding map there. Maybe there's a property that's nearby that you may want to do a drive-by and get a sense of some different Class B or C assets. We don't own that many Class C assets anymore, but just give you a taste of the workforce housing flavor, which we'll get to more here in a little bit. But as of, again, 2024, most notably, we've distributed over $45 million back to our investors. Throughout the years, our strategies may have evolved, but our core mission remains unwavering, which is to build a boutique syndication company founded on strong relationships with our partners, including you. Below are some of the most common questions we receive from prospective investors. And I've unlocked the complimentary access to the syndication e-course to get you up to speed on being an empowered LP in syndications. You should be getting a separate email with some instructions to access that. But if not, or if you have any other troubles, email us at team@thewealthelevator.com or just give us a call at 808-215-5531 is our team service line. And by the way, if you refer others, please so do via email so we know who they are. And that way we can also expedite unlocking these complimentary accesses to a lot of these e-courses. And just a little pro tip here, what many people will do so that they can have a study buddy to go through the intense 8 to 12 hours of contents in just that one syndication e-course alone. Once you complete this content, just know that you'll probably know more than most accredited investors out there, because quite honestly, most accredited investors are not really that educated in this type of stuff. And part of it is just you learn by doing and you learn by investing, and ultimately you learn by meeting other people. And at that point, we'll say that you're pretty much ready for a live test drive event where you get to meet myself, the team, the community. And at that point, you're ready to sit down with a table of accredited investors and at least the basics, and you can build a relationship from there. And that's the key to being a high net worth accredited investor. And some links to bookmark when you get back to a computer, our investor portal, which you'll get a lot of the new deals. The deals are sent out via email, but we get it. Emails, they get lost. You get a lot of emails. So if there's ever a time where you need to deploy some capital, check out that investor portal page at thewealthelevator.com/investor-portal for what's open. Of course, just email us. And then a direct link to the e-courses that you have access to now is at thewealthelevator.com/courses. So before you invest, why is now a good time to invest? There have been very favorable shifts in the commercial real estate market off the peak in 2021 to 2023. Our track record before the 2023 market shift showcases our team's ability to exceed expectations. The recent market correction has certainly introduced challenges, which we have survived. The vast majority of our deals have performed through these turbulent times. This is particularly evident in our approach to underwriting and managing risks, as I detailed in the section 2 of our syndication e-course, which is the number section, and especially regarding the reversion cap rate section there. We'll typically be about 2 times as conservative as most institutional underwriters. For new investors, the current market offers a compelling entry point. The asset prices are approximately 30% lower than their peak, presenting a reduced basis in asset prices. This, combined with the insights and resilience of our team has developed through navigating the recent market correction, offers a strategic advantage. We're dedicated to conservative underwriting and strategic asset management, positioning us for future success. What I always tell folks is if they haven't had some black eyes and learning experiences along the way, they need to go through that. And that's what we've done, over $2 billion of assets owned in the past. It's understandable to consider the timing for an investment. However, we recommend bridging your investments across many deals and time horizons. Essentially, think of it as dollar cost averaging to achieve diversification, or invest through a diversified fund with many assets. Our investment thesis remains unchanged due to future market demands, mainly population, real simple, and the growing gap in the affordability and desirable housing options out there. As a side note, if you are concerned with inflation, and you can see through this article we put in the FAQ document how inflation went up after 2020 post-pandemic, there is really no better hedge than real estate, which is essentially a diversified pool of commodities that rise with inflation. And in addition, provides really society utility, right? People need a place to live, which cannot be said about precious metals or cryptocurrencies or some other investments out there. Understanding the unpredictability of the market is always going to be a constant element in any endeavor. Unless you are investing in low-risk T-bills, taking proactive measures to control our investment destiny is key. We not only invest in emerging markets, which is like investing with the trade winds at our backs pushing us, but also in actively enhancing the value of these investments through value-added strategies, ranging from the modest unit rehabs to comprehensive ground-up developments. This is a key shift from the traditional buy low, sell high mentality By improving the physical and operational aspects of an asset, you're directly contributing to its value enhancement. This approach not only increases the asset's market value, but also its appeal to tenants and buyers, leading to the potential income growth and capital appreciation. Again, the distinction between simply capitalizing on market fluctuations and actively enhancing an asset's value is significant. It's the difference between passively participating in the market, which I'll call it what it is. It's the buy, hope, and pray model. And this is what I did when I first bought little turnkey rentals when I first started back in 2009, strategically influencing the trajectory of your investments. Market fluctuations will occur, but if we are value-adding the assets and implementing the business plan, we give ourselves the best chance to take our own fate in our own hands. Why have you chosen to move up to developments? Why buy a 1970s to 1980s beat-up Class B property for $150,000, $160,000 a unit when you can build it brand new for a little bit more at $180,000 that could give us 50 additional years of service with lower operation and CapEx costs? Developments also line up for multiple infinite return situations where we refinance, possibly multiple times, all our original capital out tax-free, similar to how you guys take a HELOC on your primary residences, and then continue to hold the asset and cash flow for a long time, as opposed to most value-add Class B and C projects where you want to exit within 5 to 10 years due to that CapEx tidal wave that eventually is going to catch up with the asset and the asset just becoming old. Development projects, while more complex and capital intensive, offer a higher velocity of money and potential for significant value add, thereby providing an attractive avenue for achieving rapid equity growth and cash flow. Through strategic refinancing, this strategy, coupled with a meticulous selection of properties based on location and market demand, aims to ensure resilience against market downturns and capitalize on asymmetric opportunities presented by real estate development. This discussion further dwells into the critical role of due diligence, particularly in development projects, highlighting the necessity of a thorough evaluation and strategic planning in the pre-purchase phase. It emphasizes the importance of a proactive approach in managing potential challenges, such as supply chain disruptions, and underscores the value of an effective team, communication, and collaboration in mitigating risks and ensuring project success. More information on evaluating developments can be found in the bonus section of the LP Syndication e-course. So make sure you check out that section there. Now, the second reason why we've moved into developments, reflecting on our journey since starting in 2016, it's been remarkable to observe our growth and strategic pivots along the way. And we've been pivoting all the time. Initially, our investments were primarily in smaller sub-100-unit Class C assets. These properties were more affordable, but at the time, our investment group was a lot smaller than it is today. That said, there's a reason why professional institutional firms on Wall Street don't work with these types of problems, because they do present challenges, notably in tenant consistency. We've had properties that like 80% of the tenants will pay their rents regularly. As our expertise and team expanded, we transitioned towards acquiring larger Class B apartments, targeting properties between the 200 to 400 unit range. Despite our progress, we noticed the market becoming increasingly competitive, crowded with newcomers inspired by those guru-inspired real estate education folks out there. This influx heightened bidding wars, inadvertently inflated asset prices. In 2020, we adopted a forward-thinking approach to differentiate ourselves further from the competition. We ventured into development projects, recognizing the higher barriers to entry, such as stringent lending requirements. This move allowed us to leverage our proven track record and experience, separating us apart in a niche where few can compete effectively. Join us as we continue to innovate to stay ahead of the curve. There's different types of operators. There's a spectrum. There's institutional type of operators where they're very large companies. They run billions and billions of dollars of assets. They're very reputable. They're very secure, but there's splits and fees aren't going to be a place where it's very good for passive investors. You're not going to double your money in 5 years. It's going to be like doubling your money in 10 years. Pretty low returns. And a lot of these people, you're not going to be able to get into their deal because they want people to write $1 million, $5 million checks. What we do these days is look for people that are on that level experience-wise and don't even take outside investor capital, but we can come in there and write them a big check and get in on those kind of more private family office, semi-institutional level deals. But I think most people who have access to Google, they get these Facebook ads and such. You're looking at these newbie operators under $1 billion of assets under ownership. And a lot of these guys are just playing the fake it till you make it game. We were there at one time when we first got started with this back in 2016. Back then, we were happy to take people in at $35,000. You know, obviously, there's other things on that, but we don't do today because those are some of the weaker investors. We also don't take in non-accredited investors today for those same reasons. But when you look at different sponsors or different deals, I would take a look at it like, all right, when I'm evaluating the operator, where do they fall on the spectrum? To me, if you're under $2, $3 million net worth, you really need to be finding this middle market operator. The institutional guys, you're not going to be writing $250,000, $500,000 checks to get into those higher quality deals. You're not going to have access to them. But at the same time, stay away from the people you find on the podcast land, YouTube world, the people who are just good marketers who have done less than $1 billion of deals. Now, you'll have to check out this list of recent wins in the FAQ document for various links here. We were beneficiaries of phenomenal growth. Before one of these cases, we've 2.3x'd people's money, which is 134% in just under 2.5 years. If you do the math, that's about 50% return on investment per year. And despite having a fire in that project and a few units burned down, you can check out that full report on the Google Drive link there in the FAQ document. But the key is to underwrite conservatively, which is explained more in the syndication LPE course, so that we can attempt to underpromise and overdeliver. And in that case, obviously rewarded with a better than expected return. What are your investment goals? There are three goals in our projects in this respective order. First and foremost, capital preservation means don't lose initial investment capital and do what's best for the asset's health in the long term. Number two, implement the business plan of bumping the NOI or value-added strategy to achieve a higher price at sale in the business plan timeline. And third and least is cash flow. When things go great, you never hear anything, and that is what we like. But in some cases, we may have to triage our management decisions based on achieving those other two components, which are capital preservation and the business plan. More information on this subject in an attached video in the FAQ document. Now, one thing I'll point out is business plans and market conditions are always dynamic. A famous quote from Mike Tyson says that everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Same thing with all these deals, right? The reason why we're getting involved with them is there's some hair on it. This is why the big lazy institutions don't want to get involved in this type of stuff, and which is why we're able to create the returns that have been realized in the past. We've obviously been punched many times in our billions of dollars of past projects, but most importantly, arising from them with the experience to handle the next fight. How are investments structured? Two ways, either as a number one direct operator, which is typical of our apartment and development projects, or number two, a fund manager. When we venture out of our area of operator expertise and invest our funds with carefully vetted operating partners and specific projects. In the fund manager role, the operators are responsible for the day-to-day management of the property. We do intense due diligence on each operator before approving them and serve as a large capital provider, assuming responsibility for oversight, reporting, and major decisions on behalf of our investors. By investing with us as your fund manager, we are often able to negotiate better terms or preferential positioning within the capital stack, akin to the benefits of buying in bulk at Costco. Moreover, should challenges arise, it's a collective. We're all in this together. As your fund manager, we would stand as your advocate in any necessary mitigation efforts. This highlights a less discussed aspect of passive investment. In the rare event that things go awry, passive investors typically face these challenges alone, bearing the brunt of legal expenses and the management of legal representation. If you want to go down that path, however, in our community, we embody the spirit of Ohana, meaning family. For full details on this structure, read through the private placement memorandum. So many people out there look for investments on those free forums or worse, Facebook groups, where you'll see a lot of sponsorships or referral partners where they're getting kickbacks. You know, it's very common out there. The problem here from the passive investor's perspective is that a referring partner or stranger is not actively involved in the resolution process if there are any issues. This lack of involvement is what sets us apart in our roles as fund managers or direct operators. We engage more directly, unlike those who are only temporarily connected through financial incentives on the front end. What is the duration of the deals? Any investment in any project should be considered long-term in nature. Investors should be in a financial position that will enable an investor to hold their investment for the duration, which is projected as up to 10 years or longer for the income fund. Development or value add deals can be shorter in length, 3 to 5 years, but investors are illiquid in their positions during its entirety. Real estate and value add projects take time and business plans change. Refer back to the earlier question, what are your investment goals? How is this different from a REIT? REITs, or real estate investment trusts, are basically real estate holding stocks and are often highly correlated to the stock market's performance. Many investors invest directly in real estate through direct ownership or syndications in order to achieve a portfolio that is non-correlated with the market. Additionally, direct fractional ownership provides investors access to all of the tax benefits that are often unavailable to REIT investors. REITs typically make the majority of their fees through transactions, while the bulk of our operator fees come after our investors make money. Do we carry insurance on the asset? Answer is yes. Insurance is very important, which is why we have stayed away from investments outside the United States and in asset classes like some agriculture where the asset or crop cannot be insured. Below is a further discussion into fires, natural disasters, because it does happen, and we are well experienced in this. Refer back to the FAQ document, but here is a quick list of the major impacts that we've faced so far since 2023 was the last roundup. At least 5 documented fires. Again, we more than exceeded 2x equity multiplier in 2 years on that one. 2 full front hurricanes, multiple tornadoes, once in Iowa. We actually weren't owning the property at the time, but I was able to submit a insurance claim to get a free roof on that one. So that was a great example of a lot of times when these natural disasters come out. When we work with our professionals, usually I'll get a claims adjuster involved. We can usually come out ahead. The analogy I like to use in football, it's you're the quarterback and the offsides on the defensive lines, and then that penalty flag comes out. It's like you have a free play. And you obviously, a quarterback should air it out and go for the end zone on that play. But getting back to it, trees falling on roofs, taking down a dozen units, a freak ice storm in Texas. And again, a bunch of fires here. We've got some videos on that. But consider the following. Number one, we carry adequate insurance coverage. Since we have a lender bank on our projects, these institutions mandate a higher level of protection as part of their loan requirements. More so than we would feel is cost effective, but it's mandated under the uber conservative bank to overinsure the asset, where ultimately they have the greatest amount of interest in the capital stack. In our developments, we carry an additional layer of protection with our general contractor's policy. In one of those cases, we had a complete property burned down But essentially, the way it works on developments, the contractor is liable and contracted to deliver the final product. And until that final product is signed over, this falls on the general contractor's insurance policy. And number two, as with all disasters, we carry commercial level insurance, which includes lost rents. The only trouble here is paying for the cost out of our operating account in the period between when the insurance company checks are cut to us, the owner. This is why we have adequate working capital, cash reserves, and the sponsors are personally well capitalized to minimize the chance of a capital call. Even in that extreme circumstance, we have had countless ways to cut costs, which is why we invest in this type of asset class. In past cases, units have been out of service for weeks or months. However, in a way, we are off the clock racking up our lost rent checks, even though the units are not occupied. You know, the insurance company will reimburse us for that. Number three, we always get third-party claims adjuster to maximize the claims paid to us. In our experience, we have gotten up to 2 to 3x what the claim settlement was originally proposed. More amateur operators might have accepted that initial first offer. I know when I was a single family home investor from 2009 to 2015, I would have done just that and would have not had the capital to pay for the claims adjuster. Plus, the claims adjuster would not want to work my small claims anyway. And this is why we like to work with bigger assets. In many cases, we come out ahead of where we started because the unfortunate incident. Once we were able to use a hailstorm to get brand new roofs with just the $5,000 deductible, even though we had perfectly fine roof on there already. However, we are not thrilled when any instance takes place because it stresses our asset management team's bandwidth temporarily. Again, we are cautiously optimistic that when any time one of these insurance events comes up, that we can come out ahead. Number four, when we had that unprecedented ice event in Texas in 2021, and all the little mom and pop amateur landlords were frantically bugging their overwhelmed property managers who were trying to find any plumber in town to fix the pipes, we were knocking out our work orders with our in-house maintenance staff. This was a great example of our staff's ability to be self-sufficient. Of course, we do share human resources with some supplies if needed among assets in the same metro. And that's why you're seeing us tend to cluster our assets in the same geographic area. Number five, one of our fires burnt down an entire building under construction. In this circumstance, it puts us in a better position because at that point, the general contractor owns delivery of the final product and they are insuring the completed product. Although it is not our job as the owner, my attitude when I was in the construction industry was that every contractor slash owner wants a completed project to move on to the next one. And as the owner, we want the contractor to complete the project in such a fashion to make a fair profit so we can do business again and again. It comes down to honor. So we do our part as owners to ensure contractors are not cutting corners to ensure a properly paid insurance claim, which would probably result in a huge loss or bankruptcy by the general contractor. By doing things like recommending, and in some cases, playing for Wi-Fi security cameras to keep an eye on expensive materials like lumber, especially in 2020 when those prices went way up, you know, that was another lesson learned. Quality assurance to ensure safety protocols are met. And communicating with municipalities, we feel it's the right way to do business and that we are all accountable to a project that is on time, on budget, and meets expectations. I've personally spent 12 years as an engineer, mostly on the owner's side, overseeing construction. And unfortunately, a lot of it was on the boring side, ensuring the project was covered insurance-wise, documentation, arguing unforeseen conditions with contractors, with change orders. Or in other words, a lot of the stuff that had to be done due to the existence of lawyers and natural disasters, acts of gods, and human factor errors. So said in a quicker way, the general contractor and developments, it's their job to deliver the project. The owner, which is where we are in the position in and where I used to work as my engineering career in, you work hand in hand and everybody's part of the same team. And I could probably just sit in my cubicle all day long as the owner and just let the general contractor struggle out there. That's why I'm always looking for proactive ways, whether especially today and when I'm in my career, to look out ways to help out the general contractor. It's just the right way to do business is the way I see it. Overall, passive investors should not worry about specific events, and why we always recommend diversifying your portfolio with not more than 5 to 10% of your net worth into any one deal, or seek out diversified funds like the income fund. By doing that, you can relax and let your GP, who is incentivized to achieve the same goals, do the stressing and the legwork that is necessary to manage the asset and the property management team to maximize the returns. What legal risks do I assume in this investment? Your liability cannot exceed the amount of your investment plus amounts distributed to you. Additionally, passive investors carry no lending risks. This is the beauty of being a LP or limited partner. Is my investment guaranteed? Straight answer, no. We do not make any guarantees regarding investments in these funds. And if anybody does, run. Although we underwrite conservatively, higher than most professional underwriters, it is not possible to predict market events. We have seen from our track record owning billions of dollars of real estate as a GP operator that once you get into a project, anything can happen, such as a 40-year high interest rate hikes and even pandemics. Guaranteed investments generally carry very low returns as compared to the potential returns projected for these funds. If an operator has never encountered any issues, it's probable that they haven't managed assets exceeding a $1 billion portfolio, as we have well over $2 billion in counting. Our experiences and the challenges we've overcome are what we consider valuable lessons, which we carry forward into future engagements. How do the GPs get compensated? Our team leverages years of real estate experience and our connections to maximize each project's success. We pay our staff via asset management fees and a share of upside profits after investors receive priority distributions. This arrangement is referred to the industry as the promote structure. Typically, the GP does not receive compensation until the investors have been fully reimbursed and are receiving their returns. This principle marks a significant departure from the way Wall Street operates, where fees are often collected regardless of whether investors receive profits or not. See the corresponding PPM for the specifics on your particular projects. Why don't you provide IRR, which is internal rate of return projections? While the internal rate of return, IRR, is a widely recognized metric, it's not without its complications. IRR is distinct from other return measures because it accounts for the time value of money, providing an annualized average return over a specific period. This can be quite insightful, especially as a LP trying to evaluate unique deals with different business plans and timelines. For a straightforward example, investing $10,000 after earning a 7% return over 5 years compounded yearly would yield a 7% IRR, assuming the principal is fully returned at the end of the period. We have chosen to purposely not provide IRRs due to the susceptibility to manipulation that a lot of other people are doing out there to come up with the projected IRR. Minor adjustments to the project timeline, which are just projections and guesses, such as an anticipated refinance happening in the second year instead of the third or fourth, can disproportionately inflate the IRR, transforming a 13% projection into something as high as 19 to 24%. This volatility undermines the reliability of IRR as a solidary metric for investment decisions, and we would prefer to underpromise overdeliver. As described in the syndication e-course number section, it is common for other operators out there to engineer the underwriting spreadsheet to present an over-optimistic outlook, especially with IRRs. A more generic metric that takes out this variability is to prioritize total return over a standard 5-year period. This metric, akin to evaluating a football player's speed through their 40-yard dash time, provides a straightforward and a bit imperfect snapshot of an investment's potential. It's a method that strives for consistency and pragmatism in selecting the most promising opportunities, foregoing the intricacies and potential manipulations of cash flow a little bit earlier, a little bit later, that represented of IRR calculations. For a deep dive in how IRR works and why it may not always serve as the best standalone metric for investment evaluation, we recommend exploring various resources such as the videos on the FAQ document. While engaging with spreadsheets allows for hands-on experimentation with different scenarios. And getting your hands on an IRR calculator spreadsheet, you can see if you slide the cash flow up a year or back a year, how it drastically manipulates it. And again, a lot of these things are just pure projections. You can project anything out there. We would prefer to stay out of this whole like guessing game. Are there any other investors I can talk to prior to investing? First off, you can review an extensive library of testimonials in the FAQ document via thewealthelevator.com/testimonials. But in accordance with our company's commitment to confidentiality, we've got a lot of your guys' sensitive data, and with respect to the privacy of all our investors, we are unable to disclose or share the specific information. We take the trust placed in us very seriously and have stringent measures in place to ensure the privacy and confidentiality of our investor community. As you can imagine, we get a lot of these requests, and allowing such requests would turn into a part-time unpaid job for people to keep doing this for new people coming in. Except if you're an investor over $6 million or we have a common connection where we can help verify that method. As an additional thought, we've often pondered the effectiveness of references in general, considering operators tend to only provide contacts who would share positive feedback. Think about it. Why would they do it so otherwise? This is why we created the Family Office Ohana Mastermind, or FOOM, where accredited investors can connect and foster relationships, share their experiences with investors, and grow in other aspects of investing, tax strategy, asset protection, and family estate planning. If you'd like to learn more about the FOOM, please reach out to team@thewealthelevator.com. Can I add a beneficiary to my investment? There isn't an option to add beneficiaries in our private placements. Typically, our other investors discuss this with their estate planners as they set up beneficiaries with their personal trust wills. Please make sure you have your correct information in the signing portals to make sure we know who to get hold of if the unfortunate happens. But this is the way we see it, our relationship. We know who you guys are. Like, there's that, we're not a huge institution like a Vanguard Fidelity, right? Like, we're a smaller organization, a bit getting over 1,000 investors. We kind of know, still have that personal relationship. Who can invest? Check out this video resource on the FAQ page. Most of our investments are open to accredited investors. Since our offerings fall under Rule 506C of Regulation D, investors will be required to verify their accredited status through a third party, such as a CPA, financial advisor, attorney, or a service like parallelmarkets.com or verifyinvestor.com. However, the best practice is to get a third-party letter from your CPA or lawyer, often for no cost. Refer to our team for simple form letters to make it easy for your service providers to third-party certify you. Then load that PDF into our portal. Accredited investors are individual investors who either have a net worth of at least $1 million. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of exactly what an accredited investor is. You can check that out on the SEC website. But if you own a house in California or in Hawaii, you're likely an accredited investor. Where do I see what is open to invest? Check out our investor portal via this link. thewealthelevator.com/investor/portal. If you are looking to deploy capital with us or have a specific question about an open deal, book a call with our team. Are these offerings confidential? We ask that you maintain confidentiality in our projects through a gentleman's agreement because we aim to protect our competitive edge. By keeping offer and bid prices private, we prevent competitors from leveraging this information within the broker or seller community. Additionally, we safeguard our innovative strategies. For example, our focus on private equity arrangements in 2022 and our shift towards developments back in 2020 to prevent others from imitating our leading approaches. That said, if you have family or friends you would like to get added to our list or get access to the educational content to go through it with you, please connect us via email. How do I connect with Lane? After we surpassed $1 billion of assets owned in 2020, I needed to expand the team and quite honestly needed to add people with better skill sets that I had in particular areas. Therefore, our communication methods have changed over the years. When it first started, 2018, 2019, when I had about 300 live investors at the time, I was able to have annual interactions with most of the investors at that point. And I really enjoyed that. And I still enjoy that today. But with well over like triple, quadruple that amount of people today and growing in the future, after going full cycle on many deals, our investor community has expanded significantly, now encompassing over 900 active investors who have collectively received $45 million in distributions and obviously managing multi-billion dollars of assets. Thus, it has made it increasingly challenging to sustain the personal Zoom phone calls that were once a cornerstone of the relationship building efforts. That said, please understand that we have diverted our key principal team to managing the assets and searching for and negotiating future deals for our community. That's often the efforts that I play out there and finding new deals. Now, with that, we've expanded the investor relations team. And I do try to make myself available for general questions. We have the office hours, which are every first Saturday of the month, and the syndication investment in-depth webinars every third Saturday of every month. I would say what I really like to go is more deeper with investors, and that's where we have the Family Office Ohana Mastermind to build more of that personal relationship between us, but also the 100 other plus investors in that particular group. And that transitions to what is the Family Office Ohana Mastermind? You are more than welcome to invest in our offerings regardless if you are in our Family Office Ohana Mastermind or FOOM for short. The biggest part of being an accredited passive investor is building your network of other purely passive investors. We urge you not to waste your time at the local REI club, meetups, or those free online forums because it is filled with non-accredited investors who are into house flipping or smaller general partners trying to get started. You can check out all the details on the FOOM in the FAQ document. If you are interested in applying, please reach out to the team. But what I'll also share is when I first started to learn about private placements or syndications in 2012, back then I thought it was a Ponzi scheme myself. And I mentioned my first deal where I went in as a limited partner and lost $40,000 working with the shyster. If only I had a network to be able to ask around about the deal and the operator, I likely would have not done the deal. I obviously kept investing at that point and did step on even more landmines in terms of people, especially between 2016 and 18, but soon got traction in my personal network to know who was who out there. And that's where we try to make this as simple and easy for you guys to navigate your first few years as a private investor. And it's a bit of a journey. My hope to you is assist you in this process as much as possible. And that's why I've created the whole Wealth Elevator. And this is my attempt to send the elevator back down to you folks. And hopefully when you get up to that high level, you'll send it back down to other people. All right. So what are the next steps? You can check that out on the FAQ document. We've also got a cool flowchart there where it shows your path from how you're coming in, checking out the podcast, you're checking out a lot of the syndication e-course guides, the infinite banking e-course guide. Check out some deals, you invest in several of them, But if you're looking for that built-in network and community of other investors, at what point do you join for that higher level mastermind group, family office, Ohana mastermind, to mostly expedite you to better deal flow and better placement of your own personal funds? But check out that checklist in our FAQ document. Now let's get into taxes. What are the tax benefits or advantages of investing in syndications? Syndication deals can provide several tax advantages to an investor. Cash flow distributions will often flow to you on a tax-deferred basis as passive income. Proceeds from refinance events typically come to you with no immediate tax obligation, as it is loan proceeds, not a capital gain. We've got a bunch of other resources for you at thewealthelevator.com/costseg. Thewealthelevator.com/tax is our main tax info page with a lot of articles and videos there. And also check out the page with past coaching calls. There we have them arranged based on your net worth. So wherever you fall in the net worth scale, I would suggest taking a look at those videos and then taking a look at the higher net worth coaching calls. You'll start to see a big theme persist in a lot of these. And at this point, the Wealth Elevator is this 1-2-3 trifecta of number one, investing in alternative investments, number two, tax strategies, and number three, infinite banking. The magic happens when you combine these simple strategies together. And I will say before I go any further, this is not professional tax advice and should not be relied upon for making investment decisions. Of course, investors should consult with their financial advisor, accountant, and or tax attorney for tax advice specific to their particular needs and objectives. Please let us know if you need a referral to a CPA lawyer or other vendor that other people have used in the past or I've personally used, or reach out to team@thewealthelevator.com. So what is a K-1? Similar to a 1099, a K-1 form is an accounting of the tax income for the year. It's a very simple form in comparison to a Schedule E or C and makes filing for passive investors with dozens and dozens of K-1s easy. Of course, with the right CPA. We've got another video resource here for you to check out on the FAQ PDF. When are K-1s going to be sent? K-1s are targeted to be sent out by mid to late March. We wrap up all final bills, late rent checks by late February and rush our document to our third-party tax team who will work on the returns for us and send out K-1s to investors. At that time, it's in the CPA's hands to complete, and sometimes we might strategically file later in the year to see how tax law formulates if we feel it is an advantage to the partnership. With that said, most investors always extend to file taxes in October. And I would highlight that, especially if you've got a handful of K-1s you're waiting for, there's always going to be a case where one of those K-1s are going to hold things up. In fact, only an extension form is really due on April 15th, whereas the 1040 forms are truly due in October. By extending, you, number one, allow your personal tax return prepare a longer timeline, proper completion for better quality. Number two, you can see the latest changes in the tax code unfold through the summer, which might allow you to make changes in your tax strategy. Maybe you're doing an S-Corp split optimization. Maybe you're doing some retirement fund allocation. Number three, plus some think that giving the IRS 6 fewer months to audit your file is prudent too. Below is a message from our CPA that we wanted to just pass along. For LLCs and partnerships, the IRS deadline is March 15th, but we encourage you to file extensions for both your personal and business tax returns. Extension does not increase your risk of audit. It does, however, reduce the chances of filing an incorrect return in the rush to get information together by yearly deadlines. Filing a business extension also gives you time to contribute to retirement plans that your business may sponsor. Extensions provide an additional 6 months to file, but you do not provide additional time to pay taxes. When you're ready to file an extension, we will help determine if you need to make a payment with your extension. Extended returns are due September 15th for individual tax returns. The IRS deadline is April 16th, but we encourage you to file extensions for both personal and business tax returns. Extensions provide an additional 6 months to file, but do not provide additional time to pay taxes. When you're ready to file an extension, we will work with you to determine if you need to make a payment with your extension. Extended returns are due October 15th. I'll round out that whole section. It's just best practice to always extend first part of the year so you don't get clumped in the big rush where most people, the average person, will file in April. Just makes so much more sense for the reasons we mentioned previously, just to get used to filing in October. In fact, I personally do this myself. We'll file my taxes in October and then we'll refile it even after the fact, often taking another 12 months to file the previous year's taxes. Logistical. What are the steps to invest? Here's an outline of the steps below. Number one, create an account in the Signing Investor portal. And note that this is a different portal than thewealthelevator.com website. You might have to unload a third-party accreditation form too. Number two, fill out an investment commitment and electronically sign your investment documents. No, we do not accept written signatures, anything like that. Number three, your funds and mark that you have done so in the portal so that it will alert us that you have done so. For added security, please ensure to obtain the wiring instructions exclusively from our secure signing portal and exercise caution when instructions are sent via email, because emails are the things that hackers will replace wiring instructions. So it's just a best practice never to have wiring instructions emailed, which is why we've adopted these secure signing portals to facilitate the transfer of these types of documents. Do I receive a wire confirmation when I fund? Now, once your funds arrive, it does take us maybe 1 to 2 business days for the funds to settle in our account, where somebody can view the wiring details, like who sent it and how much it was sent. Once the funds settle, we will mark the funds received in the signing portal, and that will automatically send you an email from our team confirming your wire was received. In addition, you can check in your portal to see that it was confirmed if you forgot to activate the alerts or missed the email. Now, if you do not see that notification email or your portal does not show the wire received, please give us a few business days after wiring, noting bank holidays in there too. And it takes us a couple days to figure out whose is whose once they show up. We get it. It's a lot of money. We've never lost a wire yet. But yeah, it usually takes us a few business days to get you that confirmation. Can I send a check ACH instead of a wire? No, we do not accept checks because they typically take a long time to send. They don't clear right away and may get lost. Also, from a security standpoint, wires are much more trackable. The lawyers have always told me that checks get lost in people's personal bank account ledgers, where wires have external records and are better to be used as evidence if you ever need that. Is it recommended to hold all investments in one LLC or create multiple LLCs to hold each investment? Now, again, we're not giving any tax or legal advice here, but generally our investors opt to not use any LLC, let alone multiple ones, due to the low nature of liability as an LP limited partner. There are some other nuances based on your personal situation, so we recommend checking out my office hours, maybe to discuss your situation further. Of course, we can keep your situation anonymous whenever you guys jump on those. And of course, not giving any tax or legal advice here. But if you do need a referral to a vendor such as a CPA lawyer, please reach out. Is there a need to have or renew my accreditation letter? Now, if you need a sample accreditation letter to send to your CPA lawyer to sign, which we feel like is the best practice as opposed to going to those other websites to do it that way, which costs some money there, reach out to our team to get a simple template. Now, some of those websites that say they have a certain amount of timeline that they're open to, if you submitted to us your accreditation letter, we'll let you know if we need any type of renewal on that. Do you accept IRAs, self-directed IRAs, Roth IRAs, QRP, solo 401ks, C-Corps, S-Corp? Yes, we do. We don't really discriminate to any of that. You just have to sign your documents accordingly. Do you accept 1031s into the deal? So typically our structure does not involve directly facilitating 1031 exchanges, unless an investor is contributing significantly in the realm of $1 million, few million dollars to a deal, which at that point we could potentially do what's called a tenant in common, a TIC for short. But obviously this is very rare. We would suggest mitigating taxes through an alternative to the 1031 exchange called the lazy 1031 exchange. Investors get ample bonus depreciation in syndications, which often outweigh the benefits of a 1031 exchange and associated fees. We believe that engaging in a 1031 can inadvertently limit an investor's flexibility, potentially locking them into a less advantageous position over time. For instance, when I sold off my rentals in 2016 and I had $200,000 of capital gains, I offset that completely because I had enough passive losses accrued through syndication investments in that year and the years prior, bypassing the need for a cumbersome 1031 exchange entirely. The reality is that 1031 exchanges, while deferring taxes, comes with stringent timelines and constraints that make them impractical for most investors. Especially in a market that favors sellers, finding a hot deal within the 45-day identification window is exceptionally challenging, and the process may not align well with investment opportunities that syndications offer. Moreover, considering the financial profile of most investors we work with, who typically enjoy substantial annual cash flow and liquidity, participating as a limited partner LP in syndications tends to offer a more scalable and diversified investment strategy. This is not only facilitates exposure across various markets and asset types, but also aligns better with tax-efficient strategies, leveraging cost segregation for bonus depreciation, which effectively makes the traditional 1031 exchange obsolete method. Should you have a considerable capital gain scenario you're navigating, I recommend discussing further as they could be an alternative strategy to a 1031 exchange that would suit your situation better, especially given the administrative complexities and limitations associated with a 1031 exchange and TIC arrangements for syndication involvement. This is detailed in IRC section 469. We've also got another article that explains this in the FAQ document. But if you guys want to jump on the office hours with myself every first Saturday of the month and we want to go through your situation, we can certainly talk through if it makes sense for you. Who do I reach out for investor support? For investor relations requests, please send us an email at team@thewealthelevator.com. We don't want to lose track of your requests, so emails work best. We also have a number, 808-215-5531. I would caution sending texts to that number because they tend to get lost in comparison with emails. But if you are somebody who just wants to pick up the phone, ask a quick question, that's another option out there for you guys too. And of course, reach us during business hours. So our story, in 2007, Lane Kawoka PE began his engineering career with hands-on management of construction crews with BNSF Railway to municipal projects with the city of Kirkland, before moving on to the state of Hawaii's Department of Transportation, focusing on airport projects, and eventually taking a position with the federal government in facility management. Parallel to his career in engineering in 2009, Kawaoka ventured into the real estate market, purchasing his first rental property. Starting as a side gig, this expanded over the years as he gradually expanded his portfolio, acquiring a duplex in Seattle and then extending his investments out of state, amassing a total of 11 rentals by 2015. By expanding his network with other accredited investors, which is why we emphasize your network, he transitioned his remote rental properties and laid the groundwork for his subsequent foray into syndications and private placements, both as a passive investor and a general partner. Lane left W-2 employment to focus full-time on the real estate investment company in 2018. Kawaoka's journey into real estate investment was not without its challenges. From 2012 to 2018, encountered issues with trust with partners, navigating the complexities of dealing with less than reputable operators, under $1 billion in assets, in the industry, which led to some setbacks, including a situation where he had to oust a fraudulent general partner. Despite these hurdles, his investment strategy proved successful, enabling the investor group he led to grow significantly. By 2020, amidst the pandemic, his group's strategic position, which many other investment groups sitting on the sideline, allowed him to surpass $1 billion in assets. As a company, this is also a period where the team was created with better skill sets and experiences in specific areas of operation that allowed Lane to focus on business development and finding new deals. This allowed the portfolio to survive the correction in 2023 caused by 40-year high interest rates, and gave our team immense experience to weather future storms once in operation and evaluate future opportunities that come across our desks. In 2020, the establishment of a development arm focusing on sectors like workforce housing added another investment product for our community in addition to the traditional and competitive light to medium value add Class B, C multifamily repositions. Going into developments was also driven by the observation of widening economic disparities between the rich and poor, positioning his investments to benefit from long-term demographic and economic trends. Looking forward, Kawaoka and his team are exploring opportunities beyond real estate, venturing into venture capital and private equity. Thanks to their extensive network and industry relationships, this next chapter aims to leverage these connections to access higher quality projects and partnerships on the family office level, focusing on sectors that align with their investment philosophy and the broader market trends they anticipate will shape the future. As they navigate these new avenues, Kawaoka emphasizes the importance of adaptation and evolution in their strategies, inviting others to join in the unfolding journey of their investment group's next chapter. Investment philosophy. Number one, long-term investment horizon. Focus on meeting the essential needs of the general public that are expected to become increasingly important in the future and are resistant to recessions, industry disruptions, or technology advancements. This includes addressing real estate demands driven by population growth, as well as exploring solutions outside traditional asset classes to cater to broader human necessities. Number two, seek emerging markets. Diversify holdings in the best growing markets with population and economic growth. We don't count on appreciation to happen, but when it happens, it's the icing on top of the cake. Number three, emphasis on purchase price and buying from sellers with non-economic reasons for selling. Estate sales, partnership dissolutions, or strategic divestments. We don't buy distressed assets, such as properties under 70% occupancy, but from sellers who are motivated to lower their pricing due to their overall situation. Number four, focus on controllable factors. Value creation through forced appreciation by driving NOI, reducing expenses, increasing occupancy, and upgrading assets. Number five, people. We prioritize collaboration with individuals and entities that uphold the highest ethical standards and integrity, ensuring that all our stakeholders, be our customers, who are the tenants, contractors, staff, or investors, are treated with the utmost respect and fairness. The information contained in this document is for information purposes and should not be regarded as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any security in any jurisdiction where such an offer or solicitation would violate any laws. The price and the value of the investments referred to in this document and the income from such investments may fluctuate, and investors may realize losses on these investments, including a loss of principal. We do not provide tax, accounting, or legal advice to our clients, and all investors are advised to consult with their tax, accounting, or legal advisors regarding any potential investment. The information and any opinions contained in this document have been obtained from sources that we consider reliable, but we do not represent such information and opinions are accurate or complete, and thus should not be relied upon as such. Past performance is not indicative or a guarantee of future performance. Interested investors should review the private placement memorandum, PPM, and all terms of this document are subject to the terms of the PPM. Projected returns are based on various assumptions outlined in the PPM and are subject to risks, which are also outlined in the PPM.
The proceeding is not tax, legal, or investment advice, nor an offer to sell securities or investment products. Always make informed decisions with professional guidance. Get educated and surround yourself with a community at thewealthelevator.com/club.